Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. I'm sure you've heard that song at some time or another. And now you know why nobody ever asked me to sing solos in church. But that song would be a pretty good summary of what we find in Romans chapter 16, which is filled with names. It represents an awful lot of people. And it is a chapter that some teachers skip over rather lightly. They don't understand that it's of any particular significance. But others value it very highly. In fact, John Stott said, he's now no longer with us, he's with the Lord, but John Stott said, it's one of the most important chapters in the New Testament. Romans chapter 16, he said, is one of the most important chapters in the New Testament. And what do we find? In verses 1 and 2, Paul commends Phoebe to the church at Rome. In verses 3 through 15, Paul urges the Roman Christians to greet various members of their church for him. And in verses 16 through the end, Paul sends greetings to the Roman Christians from others. That doesn't sound like a very theologically heavy chapter, and doesn't even sound like a very important chapter, but it is, for a lot of reasons. Number one, because all of these are ordinary people. We're not talking here about apostles of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about highly trained theologians. We're not talking in this chapter about difficult doctrines for God's people to comprehend. We're talking about the issues of Christian fellowship and local church involvement and interaction between Christians and churches in different locations. Christians who travel from place to place and from church to church. All of these things are in view in Romans chapter 16, and therefore it can become a highly instructive and very valuable portion of God's eternal word. Now let's look at verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she may need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Who is Phoebe? Who is this Phoebe that Paul commends to the church at Rome? Her name, Phoebe, Phoibain in the Greek, is a form of Phoibos, a name given to the pagan god Apollo. It means the bright one. Obviously, she was born into a pagan family. They gave her a name that is attached to a pagan god. Why would she retain that pagan name now that she's a Christian? Well, I don't know, since the Bible doesn't tell us, but we do know that she was an outstanding Christian, and yet she still bore this name that had been given to her as a child. Perhaps we could conclude, though could not be dogmatic about, that this name had lost its original significance. Maybe even at the time her parents attached that name to her, maybe it did not bear that same relationship to the god Apollo that it had originally. If that be true or false, we do not know, but I think we can safely conclude that in Phoebe's mind it was no longer connected to its original significance. She did not think that by bearing that name she was going to be giving testimony to a false god. She didn't think that most people were going to associate her name with a pagan deity, and since it was her name, it had been all of her life, it was dear to her, she didn't see, apparently, any reason to change it. And that tells me that among believers, sometimes we create problems where there are none. Sometimes we raise concerns that are much ado about nothing. I'm sure there are some well-meaning Christians that would want to have a pretty severe talk with Phoebe and say, Phoebe, don't you know it's dishonoring to the Lord for you to continue using a name that is associated with a pagan god? You need to change your name now that you have become a Christian. But Phoebe might say, well, that there is that connection, I'm aware of it, but that's not what most people think of when they hear the name Phoebe. Why do I need to change my name? It's kind of like the celebration of Christmas. I'm well aware of the fact that in the history of the Christian church, there had been periods of time where godly people did not celebrate Christmas. Are you aware, for example, that the founders of America, literally, Christians who first came to New England forbade the celebration of Christmas by law? It was illegal to celebrate Christmas because to them it had strong associations with, in the minds of some, paganism, and in the minds of others, with apostate Christianity. And therefore, their conscience would not allow them to celebrate Christmas. And I know some Christians today who take that same position. I'm very well acquainted with some who take that position. They refuse to celebrate Christmas. They have what they are convinced are God-honoring reasons for doing so. And it would be a violation of their conscience for them to celebrate Christmas. But the fact of the matter is, and this really is true, that when you mention Christmas to most Americans, I would say 99.9% of Americans, they don't think of a pagan holiday, and they don't think of apostate Christianity. They think of the birthday of Christ, if they think about it for a moment. Now, we realize that a lot of people celebrate Christmas without really giving Christ much thought. They celebrate the commercial aspects of it, the sentimental aspects of it, the celebratory aspects of it, without giving a lot of thought to the origin of it. But most Americans still could tell you what Christmas stands for, what the purpose of it is, if you ask them. Nearly every American could say Christmas is the celebration of the birthday of Christ. That's what 99.9% of Americans would tell you Christmas means. That's how it started. That's its purpose. That's its origination. That's why we have a holiday called Christmas. It is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, if that's what people associate with it, then why do we have to bring up pagan connotations? Why do we have to, in other words, if we have to teach people the pagan connotations for them to even know about them, so that we can then explain to them why they shouldn't celebrate Christmas, I think we could safely conclude that the pagan connotations have long been lost, and whatever connotations people associate with Christmas are likely to be the right ones, or at least the ones we would want them to have, not the wrong ones. They don't associate Christmas with paganism. They associate Christmas with Christ. Now, you'll have to come to your own conclusions as to whether or not you want to celebrate it. I think that's a matter of Christian liberty. I think that's exactly the sort of thing that is covered in Romans chapter 14 and elsewhere, in the book of Colossians, for example, that some people, as the way Paul put it in Romans chapter 14, one person esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. In other words, if you come to the conclusion that you do not want to celebrate Christmas, that you cannot conscientiously celebrate Christmas, come to that conclusion on your own, practice it on your own, but don't make it an issue of controversy with other Christians. And likewise, if you come to the conclusion that it's okay for you to celebrate Christmas, that it doesn't violate your conscience, then you follow your conscience in that matter, but don't make that a matter of controversy with those who take the opposite position. Why do we have to argue about these things? Why can't we follow the instructions of Romans chapter 14 about these matters that are clearly non-essential? That's one of them. Non-essential. But the problem is that so many people aren't willing to accept that this could be a non-essential. In their mind, this is a very important issue of Christian doctrine and practice. And I say that some concerns are much ado about nothing. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. The Apostle Paul did not think it necessary or even appropriate to ask Phoebe to change her name. The Apostle Paul didn't apologize for mentioning the name of Phoebe. He calls her name. He commends her highly. And I'm sure an educated man like Paul was fully aware of the ancient pagan connection between the name Phoebe and the pagan god. But Paul did not consider that to be a matter of Christian doctrine or practice. Some concerns are much ado about nothing. So who is Phoebe? Well, we know her name, and we see something about her status here. And it is speculated, and there's probably good reason to do so, that she was probably a wealthy widow. A Christian, of course, but a wealthy Christian widow. Why would we think that? Well, number one, because she seems to enjoy a level of independence that would not be very common among single women who had never been married or married women, but would be likely of that of a widow, particularly one who was wealthy, whose husband had been wealthy. We find, for example, that she's traveling to Rome. That means that she has money to travel. It wasn't cheap, and relatively it was more expensive in that day than it is in ours. It isn't cheap today to travel long distances. You can spend a lot of money doing it, as you know. But relatively it was more expensive then, and furthermore, it was dangerous, and you could only do it if accompanied by others. She undoubtedly must have had servants to accompany her on a journey like this, to travel to Rome. And it's not unlikely that Phoebe is going to carry this epistle of Paul to the Romans with her and deliver it on his behalf. She is a very significant figure in early Christianity, and Paul commends her highly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.